This is The After Party, live with Kim McAllister. Pick a couch, grab a drink, and settle into the conversation.
Well, hello and good afternoon. Just readjusting my headphones and getting ready for the final few minutes here of the After Party Live. By few minutes, I say few minutes instead of an hour because it's already 1:15. And that's really kind of the way I've started doing things because my thought process is this. And please tell me if I'm wrong because this is kind of a group effort here. But my thinking is, and I saw some people were a little annoyed, it seemed like, that the show was starting later. But I think that it might not be something that you switch over to until the Mark Thompson show is done, right? And so it could be that it's helpful to not have this show begin until that show ends. But please tell me if I'm wrong, because I thought there was a lot of overlap in that. And so it's kind of maybe annoying to have two shows going at the same time. But I'm totally and completely welcome to your comments. If you want me to start it earlier, if you want me to start it at the exact same time every day, or if you kind of like this when that show is over, then this show starts. Let me know what you think. Oh, thank you for being here, Ren. I appreciate that very much. And thanks for your contribution. How exciting! 30,000 subscribers to the Mark Thompson Show. It's been a long time and we've been at it for over a year. Right? October of 2022, I think, is when KGO fell apart, or was it 2023? I don't know. But it's so nice to see that what we're trying to build is actually sticking. Same thing with us here on the After Party Live. This show, you know, it's been a rocky road of late, but we have nearly 2,000 subscribers. When I last looked, we were like, it was like 18,090 something. So a few more to go. But it's exciting to watch the progress. So is 2,000 anywhere near 30,000? No, it isn't. But those little milestones are exciting and it kind of keeps you moving forward. So if you haven't subscribed to this show, please subscribe. You never have to watch it again. Just click the subscribe button, totally free. And I really appreciate your help on that. Also, if you could click the like button, I would appreciate that as well. I might need a quick break. Yeah, sometimes, you know, put the headphones on again so they look a little straight. Put on some more lip gloss and move forward. I don't know. I am correct, says Cindy. It's okay to run long on your show too. Okay, well, that's what I wasn't sure because I figured by the time we get to 2 o'clock, maybe people have places to go, things to do, people to see. I don't know. So I was trying to wrap up right around the 2 o'clock mark, but I figure, you know, you guys can, you'll check out if you need to check out, right? So it's okay to go a little long. Thanks for that, Cindy. I appreciate it. Starting at the end of Mark's show works for me. Okay. So that means that this show might start at 1:05. It might start at 1. It might start at 1:10. It might start at 1:15. Whenever, and at the end of Mark's show, when we click end and it's just Albert, Mark, and I, Mark always has a couple minutes where he wants to talk to us about, you know, how the show went, what's coming up for tomorrow, things that we need to do to prepare for the following shows, that type of thing. So it always takes me like an extra couple minutes and then to come over. But anyway, thank you for your patience. And I just want to make you understand, or for us all to be on the same page, to understand exactly what's happening there and why the show has kind of a fluid start time now. And hopefully that's okay. Heather's like, give a chance to go to the bathroom. Adult diapers are expensive. I would imagine they are. If they're probably more expensive than baby diapers, then, you know, they're expensive. We chat while we're waiting. No worries. Awesome. Remind Mark. Chit, chit, chit. Someone I noticed in the comments on Mark's show said that's really obnoxious. It's probably true. When you say chit, 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 it is, it can be obnoxious. Yeah. Although it's more polite than shut up, perhaps. I don't know. Well, thanks for being here on the After Party Live. It is Trivia Thursday. I have some general trivia. I don't have a particular category, just some general trivia with questions I thought were interesting. Some easy, some a little challenging, to see how you guys do with that and have a little fun with it. But let's start the show and talk about some thing that I saw earlier that I thought you guys might have an opinion about. And it is Google. Ah, yes, the Goog. It turns out that Google is weighing this, and some would argue they're already doing it, but they're weighing this business change that would see them charge for premium search results. So, right, you get one set of results if you just search a regular Google search that you're not paying for, and you get another set of results if you actually paid for it. So if you're paying a Google fee, your results are going to be better, more in line with what you want, maybe more expansive. I don't know. Does that mean the top Google result won't be the advertiser who paid to put it there if you're paying? I don't know. But Google is apparently floating several ideas about how they can best use their technology. And that is incorporating what everybody and their brother is doing now, which is a premium subscription service. So the main search engine of Google would be free to use, but additional content available to those who pay a fee would also be possible. So pay the fee, get better search results. I don't know how many times a day you search for something on Google. I think I do it a lot, but I'm always looking for news stories or more information about things or what have you. Would you do that? Would it behoove you to pay the extra fee to get the better results? Again, they still have the basic results for free, right? And then how much are you trusting the basic results? Are you trusting the results more that you pay for? Maybe. Advertisements would continue to appear alongside search results, even for the subscription service. Of course they would. But Google's already charging for some features, extra storage space, of course, its AI premium service, which gives access to its new Gemini AI assistant in Gmail and Docs. I haven't used that yet. This, though, would mark the first time that any of Google's core products would be put behind a paywall. And here's the thing. It's always been free, right? Free to use their Gmail, free to use their document service, free to use Google Search. But you know, the reason it's free is because you're the commodity there. They're watching what you're spending. They're watching what you're looking at, right? And so it's all part of this big advertisement machine. You're a cog in the advertising wheel. And so because you are and your information is the commodity, it seems free, but you're really paying it a different way. So now that they already know everything about you, now they want you to cough up the cash too. Something annoying about this, but on the other hand, getting the good information is also appealing. Oh, Mara says they make money off ads, money off selling our data without consent. Now they want us to pay to use it. F that. It's true, Mars. Everything you just said, 100%. Yes. But we're not going to stop using Google. And if we're not going to stop using Google, do we want the good bougie results or do we want the results for the commoner? I don't know any other way to say that. Spying on me? Yeah, they are. They're collecting all your information and they have been for a long, long time. Heather says everything is a money grab these days. It's exhausting, isn't it? It's true. And I mean, even stuff like this show, right? Mark's show, we're not going to be able to do it if we don't have the contributions and whatever else. So I get it. And every business wants to survive. But it's true, Heather. Every time you turn around, it's like someone's charging you for something else. Gosh. Josh says, I thought companies paid for a higher search spot. They can. Yeah. Companies can pay to kind of elevate their search. So say I search for printer cartridges, right? The first one that pops up is probably the one that paid Google to have their results pop up first. So I would rather use a Russian Yandex than Google. I don't know what a Russian Yandex is. Is that their main search engine there? I don't know. Dieter says, I use Firefox because Google knows too much about me already. Even that DuckDuckGo, which is supposed to be more private, they had an issue where apparently, you know, somebody cracked them as well and they were taking more information. I don't know. They already have all of our data. Isn't that enough? No, it isn't enough. They already have that. See, if they still were collecting it, maybe. But now that they have that, they're like, yeah, that's old news. We already did. We already know all about you people. So now we want your money. Mm-hmm. Karen's like, I'm not paying any extra. Not doing it. I think a lot of people would pay to have the good results, to have the different type of results. Used to be direct marketing, Karen says. Collected data before the internet. The internet just made it more insensitive. I think intensive is what you meant. Mm-hmm. Lori says, just learn how to do a good search. There are plenty of lessons out there. So you're saying you can still get the fancy results, even if you don't pay for them, just by knowing how to do different searches, using the quotation marks, searching in different ways. Perhaps intensive is what she meant. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks you guys for hanging out. Again, please click the like button if you can. If you haven't subscribed, I'm looking for 2,000. So hopefully I'll get there. I'm telling you, it's the little show that could. Little show that could. Let's go to animals. This segment sponsored by Janet R. This is a cute little creature. No? Yes, I think it's a cute little creature. This is a bird who is busted for trespassing. Apparently caused a lot of chaos in the UK at Brighton Station. It's an endangered species of seagull. And because it made its way into Brighton Station, it caused an hour and a half disruption for passengers on April 1st. So everyone thinks it's an April Fool's joke. Why is the train late? Why can't we go anywhere? Oh, it's a seagull that they need to remove. A seagull? Yeah. Thames Link was forced to close 3 platforms while the power was switched off and this herring gull was removed. The Brighton to London, the Gatwick Express, both disrupted for about an hour and a half. The people were feeling frustrated, thinking this was some type of April Fool's thing, but nope, it was a herring gull, which are endangered. One traveler said, numerous trains have been canceled. Operators left them stranded in the rain. Thames Link, which runs the trains there, apologized for the inconvenience and said the bird was safely removed from the railway and they are glad it had a happy ending. They shared this picture of the little herring gull and said everybody's okay. This herring gull apparently is a common sight in seaside resorts, but it's been on the Birds of Conservation Concern. They call it the BCC on the red list since 2009 because it's declining in population. And that means it's an increasing level of conservation concern for this herring gull. Oh, glad they saved it. Glad everything worked out okay. And I guess an hour and a half is, worth it to save a little creature. This one didn't necessarily work out so well. Somebody, and remember when this happened in San Francisco, someone stole a monkey from the zoo, the San Francisco Zoo. Remember, and then they found it in some condo in like San Mateo or something. Well, kind of a similar situation in this case. This is a rare lion-tailed macaw stolen from the Leipzig Zoo in Germany. It's a female lion-tailed macaw named Ruma, stolen from its cage during what they call a violent overnight break-in. That according to the Leipzig Zoo. You say macaw or macaque? I think it's macaw. Anyway, they don't know what the motive is behind the theft. They're very concerned about Ruma, the welfare of this animal, whose proper care, they say, requires expert knowledge. Like, it's not just a general monkey. You have to really know what you're doing when you care and have a creature like this. They say they very much hope this animal will be secured, unharmed, or returned. Right now, police are looking for Ruma. She was taken overnight on Saturday, March 30th. So Easter, the night before Easter? On the night, Saturday into Sunday, unknown persons entered the grounds of the Leipzig Zoo, forcibly opened the monkey enclosure and stole this female monkey and fled the premises. They've secured traces. The monkey's on a wanted list. Officers are hoping witnesses will come forward with information. This lion-tailed macaw is a species of old world monkey native to the forests and the mountain ranges of India. They're easily recognized by this, you see on the front of the face there, they have this striking gray or silver mane around the face and a lion-like black tuft at the very tip of the tail as well. And there's not very many of these in existence. A few thousand are thought to exist, and they are considered endangered by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. So it's a big deal to steal one of these creatures, and I hope they find her okay. This officer thought, speaking of April Fools, this was a very animal-heavy shift that he embarked on. He thought someone's messing with him. This Texas police officer first is sent out to round up a loose goat. And then later on, he's called out to round up an escaped peacock. He's like, is someone messing with me here? Because this looks a little too much like April Fool's. It happened with the Irving Police Department. This is Officer Ryan Turner. First, he gets a call about a loose goat on the highway. He said, I thought we were getting pranked, but this is no April Fool's joke. They shut down the highway so he could pursue the goat. It actually fell off a trailer on the highway. So the officer used some Burger King fries that apparently he had in the vehicle to coax the animal into surrendering. He ended up having to chase the goat into a parking lot of a nearby shopping center before he caught it. Then, so that wraps up, right? And everything's okay with the goat. 15 minutes later, he gets another call. A peacock wandering loose through a neighborhood. The peacock, found to be an escaped pet, was safely captured and returned back to his owner. And they said on Facebook, animal or human, you can run, but you can't hide from our officers and helpful community. So, Officer Ryan Turner, two rescues in one day, a goat and a peacock. That had to be the most interesting shift, right? Speaking of goats, there's a new rule on one island in Italy. If you can catch it, you can keep it. This Italian mayor offering free goats to anyone who can catch one. This is on the Italian island of Alicudi. It's in Sicily's archipelago, and they've got a huge overpopulation problem with goats on this island. And so the mayor says, free goats. If you can catch a goat, you can keep the goat. The wild goat population on that island grew to 6 times the human population. The human population is about 100. There's 6 times as many goats. His mayor says anyone who emails a request to the local government and pays a $17 stamp fee can take as many goats as they want, as long as they transport them off the island within 15 days of approval. Anyone can make a request for a goat. Doesn't have to be a goat farmer. No restrictions on numbers. They just want the goats off. They want them off their island. They're done. I don't know. I mean, I hate to say it, but if you're because it's a cute goat, but if you're not a vegan or a vegetarian, end of days comes, people on that island have food for a while, right? They're doing this until April 10th, but they'll extend the deadline until the goat population is back down to a more manageable number. Officials will not investigate the intentions of prospective goat owners. They say they would like to see people try to domesticate the animals rather than eat them, but they're not picky. You do what you gotta do. They just want the goats off. The island's goat herd originated about 20 years ago when they were purportedly brought to Alicudi by someone who intended to breed them, but they ended up wandering loose and then they became wild goats. And they're a big tourist draw for this island as well. But the population boom has caused the animals to spread beyond their usual habitat, and now they're invading gardens, they're invading homes, they're just causing all kinds of trouble here. So get rid of the goats. You guys want to go catch a goat? What are you going to do with it? I don't know. Curried goat is good. Wonder if they're good for goat cheese. I don't know. Import some mountain lions. That ought to fix it. Animals without natural predators on an island, problematic. Remember the deer on Treasure Island? I don't. What did we do about that? I don't remember that. Man. Ricky loves watching the goats in Tilden Park. Cool. Yeah, horny goats. It must be. Yeah, they're not slowing down. Not in a weird way. Good, good, good to know. I'm looking at you cross-eyed for just a hot second, but that's okay. Off we go from the land of goats in Italy to a fish crash. At least they ended up in the water. That's what I'll say about this one. This happened in Oregon, and the plan was to release 77,000 salmon into a certain waterway. But this whole thing hit a setback when the trucks crashed and released 77,000 salmon into the wrong body of water. So the tanker truck was carrying about 102,000 spring Chinook smolts. Those are adolescent salmon. And they were trying to release them into the Imnaha River, but the truck rolled alongside Looking Glass Creek, which is a tributary of a different river, the Grande Ronde River. The crash, unfortunately, released about 77,000 of the fish into the creek, a little farther from where they needed to be. The sheriff came out, immediately assisted with trying to, you know, make sure the truck driver was okay and getting the whole thing cleaned up. They had a small amount of diesel fuel contained that did not result in a hazmat type of situation. So the fish came from the Looking Glass hatchery, which raises them to be released for tribal and sport harvest, as well as to supplement the Imnaha River's wild population, which is considered threatened. The driver, minor injuries, going to be okay. Everybody recovering. But yeah, oops, released them into the wrong spot. I mean, at least they got released, right? I don't know. All right, let's move to this one, because I don't know if you've ever seen these stories where someone has been cleaning out grandpa's garage, you know, and they find this live grenade or an old grenade and they're not sure what to do about it. So they call out the bomb squad. The bomb squad has to take it to some remote location. It's not very often, though, that you see someone actually pack up a box of all the grenades and just bring them to the police station. Because what if they were live and you're driving around with these grenades? Happened in California in Pleasanton. A bomb squad had to be called to the front lobby of the police department when a resident showed up with a box full of three grenades, and they turned out to be live grenades. Pleasanton police said a citizen visited the front lobby to turn over three grenades he found in his garage. The resident assumed they were inert. So he takes them, boxes them up, which means you have to handle them, puts them in the box, puts the box in the car, drives all the way to the police station. Can you imagine, with bumps and the possibilities of accidents all along the way? Don't stop suddenly. Unbeknownst to him, the police say, those grenades were live. So out comes the Alameda County Sheriff's Office bomb squad. They very carefully carried those grenades off to be destroyed. Now, it wasn't clear how these three live grenades came to rest in this person's garage. They warn this, though. They say, listen, if you find something similar in your garage, maybe you just moved in and somebody left something behind, whatever, don't bring explosives to the police station. If you find any potentially dangerous explosives, please don't touch them. Call the police. They will come to you. That's how that's supposed to work, right? Lord. I mean, that just sounds like somebody got really, really lucky. Because I'll tell you, World War II. Mama says, what is it with grandpas and grenades? I do think that grandpas of my generation, my grandfather fought in World War II. And I don't believe he carried anything home, but it seems like some people did bring back trinkets or things they thought were memorabilia from the war, right? Like a shell, a grenade shell, what have you, thinking that it was inert. And then years later, it turns out there's some explosives left or something. Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Aloha to you. Yeah, it's a rainy day around the Bay Area. Jim says, Pleasanton does have many potholes, bombs a-bouncing. Isn't that crazy? I mean, when you think about anything could have happened. Wild. Guess a box full of grenades. Why not? There's a video game story that I wanted to bring to you. Can you guess who is the most iconic video game character of all time? I'll give you a second. You think maybe it's Mario? Perhaps it's Luigi? Maybe it's Sonic the Hedgehog? Maybe it's Pac-Man, right? What do you think? No? All right. Well, the most iconic video game character of all time has been named. And it is, after a BAFTA poll of more than 4,000 gamers from around the world, Lara Croft beat Mario and Sonic to be named the most iconic video game character ever. Croft beat Nintendo's Mario into second, so Mario's second. Agent 47 from the Hitman series is third. Others making the top 10, Sega's Sonic the Hedgehog, Link from the Zelda games, Master Chief from Xbox's Halo series, and classic dot-chomping character Pac-Man. Lara Croft has been around since 1996 when Tomb Raider first came out on the original PlayStation, the PC, and the Sega Saturn console. There have been a few dozen games, I guess, featuring Lara Croft, and they had a remastered compilation of the original three games released a couple of months ago. So Lara Croft is top of mind right now. And I guess she beat out all these other characters. It's just, that surprised me. Not that I'm a big gamer or anything, but okay. Ooh, with the clips coming up, I thought this was an interesting story. And first I thought, did I just miss an April Fool's story and I'm getting duped by this one? But apparently, the moon is getting its own time zone created by NASA. But clocks work differently on the moon. NASA's being directed to create a standard time zone for the moon, and the reason is they want to make sure communications are synchronized and data transfers in space are secure. But the same clock on Earth would move differently than it would on the moon, making the time zone vital and complicated to develop. So it's true, the White House directing NASA to develop a unified lunar time standard by the end of 2026. Right now, there are people working on this. It would be a timekeeping benchmark for lunar spacecraft and satellites requiring extreme precision for their missions. Having a standard lunar time, they say, is vital and complicated because of the way that time unfolds differently on the moon compared to Earth, because of a difference in gravitational force. So that clocks move at different rates than they would here. For a person on the moon, an Earth-based clock would appear to lose, on average, 58.7 microseconds per Earth day. Other periodic variations would further drift moon time from Earth time. So now they're working with the NASA, other parts of the government, to devise this plan by the end of 2026 for developing LTC, lunar time. Interesting, right? I think it's interesting. You have your own time zone on the moon. Now that we're going there, I guess, you know, it's an important thing. What a beautiful picture of the moon. Well, I'll set our moon time. Is that Pacific Standard Time or lunar time? I don't know. Apple is coming up with something new. Their next new product might be a robot butler, an autonomous bot that could one day follow you around and clean up after you. And perhaps kill you. No, not that. Anything but that. A new Bloomberg report says the iPhone maker is reallocating resources from its now-defunct car project and shifting those toward an at-home mobile robot. still in the early stages of research, but this possible autonomous robot highlights Apple's re-sparked interest now in AI-enabled technology. According to Bloomberg, this robot would be intended for home use and could follow users around. Apple engineers reportedly considering using AI models to help the robot navigate through your rooms, meaning it would also need cameras or other onboard sensors to see the world around it. Does that creep anybody out? It needs to see in your house. If it's seeing something and it's connected, I would imagine, to the internet or some online thing, that means someone else is seeing everything going on in your house. Like, you walk out of, what if you're home alone and you walk out of the shower to naked to grab a towel or something? I don't know all the things that could happen. Remember, even recently, there was a lady that was working from home and her husband was snooping at the door, getting all kinds of stock information and tips. I mean, things people say and do in their home, it's very invasive, but you would have to invite it in. I do like part of this scenario where the autonomous robot could take care of your everyday chores, cleaning up, washing dishes. I mean, if I walked out into my kitchen right now, because I've been sitting in my office most of the morning, I guarantee you there's pans and dishes because other people have been here living and doing things, right? Well, if I had the robot, I'd walk out there. Everything would be clean right where it needs to be. They don't know how long it will take to get this thing really to the point where everyone, you know, buys one, has one, whatnot, because it's kind of challenging technologically. They also want this robot to function as a mobile video conferencing tool. So instead of being here on my computer with a camera pointed at me, I'd just be talking to my robot. And then I'd be online talking, my robot would be broadcasting live. I don't know. Will it roll around on wheels like the Astro Home Robot from Amazon? Will it follow bipedal robot trends that are more like humans as they kind of stomp around clunkily? Will it, you know, how is it going to do the dishes? Like, is it going to be gentle? Does it take a long time? Are they going to ship it? How much is it going to cost? Lots of questions. We don't know any of this. And sometimes the ideas Apple has never actually make it to completion, right? They had AirPower, which is a wireless charging mat. That didn't really come out. It was supposed to be able to send and receive faxes. They had that Apple Car division. That didn't really pan out. But someday we could have our Apple robot. Are you signing up for that? Or do you like your life the way it is? I mean, it's awfully convenient to have your house cleaned. I want a robot that does all of my cleaning. Unfortunately, though, in order for it to make its way around your house, it has to have a camera and it has to be really invasive. Murphy says, I just want someone to deal with the piles I need sorted or filed at the end of the day. Piles. I'll tell you, if you don't deal with your piles every day, those they can get out of hand. And then you feel like you're living in a hoarding situation, right? Deidre says, my grown-ass husband does not know how to put his dishes away. I'm telling you, my husband is the best cook. But he likes to use every pot and pan in the whole place. I don't want to complain about it too much, because if I do, then he won't cook me the good stuff. Wes says, you just need a capable robot body. ChatGPT will handle the rest, learning chores, watching you, etc. Watching you. I don't know, Wes. That's the whole point. Heather needs one that'll clean out my closets and get rid of stuff I don't wear anymore. Oh, Heather, you and I can do that together. I'll just come over, I'll hold it up, we'll make the choice, and we'll throw it in the bag. We have a save pile and a delete pile, right? If that's what you got to do that with a friend. You don't want to throw away anything good. Murphy says, this is key because instead of having AI do our creative work, we could have a chore bot to free up time for our creative pursuits. Well, what are we going to do, Murphy? Because AI is already writing things for us. AI is already coming up with the stuff that we were supposed to come up with. So if we don't need to clean and we don't need to write or think, because AI is already going to be smarter than us, then what's our point anymore? We're just going to sit around like the shmoo blobs and Wall-E. Remember them? They rode around on little carts. Like, what are we going to do? I guess we could go exercise. Maybe the bots will do that for us too. I don't know. Walter wants robots I can watch movies with, like the guy on Mystery Science 3000. Owning a robot, says Wes, will be like an Uber. You can task out your robot to help others and make money. Well, won't everybody have a robot? I guess people that can't afford one, maybe not. Annie likes the start after Mark Thompson. Okay, good. I'm glad you guys feel that way, because I don't want you to feel like you're waiting in here and that I'm keeping you guys from that. But I also don't want to have two shows overlapping when I know that a lot of people are all also overlapping, right? And so you're already watching that and can't watch this one at the same time. Okay. Anyway. Deidre says, I have an ex-Berkeley librarian come to my house and help me get organized. She files my papers, organizes anything I need doing. We all need a Berkeley librarian. I'll take her too. Boy, if she could take a look into this office, the part the camera's not showing. My mom has this thing about saving, and it's good because you want to repurpose things and you want to recycle things, saving gift bags, birthday gift bags, Christmas gift bags, Halloween gift bags, whatever. I must have a million gift bags that I'm trying to organize into these plastic bins. And I had a friend come over and she goes, why do you save those? I'm like, well, don't you reuse those? I don't know. I got way too much stuff going on. Mama says I'd spend all day playing with my kids instead of cleaning up after them. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, $35 an hour and she's great. Oh no. You're funding her cigarette habit, I guess. I don't know. Thanks, Chris from Menlo Park. I appreciate that very much. And I like the picture. Very cute hat. All right. Well, if we're not having our robot, we're not doing our Apple bot, maybe we need a little help when it comes to health. Science is cool, you guys. Really cool. What if you could grow a liver? I mean, there are a lot of people that need one. There's an experimental treatment that grows livers from lymph nodes. First trial is underway for humans. Could apparently transform organ donation if it actually works. There is a team of scientists trying to grow a new liver inside of a human using lymph nodes. Yeah, it sounds like maybe it came from a weird novel. But there's a Pittsburgh-based biotech company. It's called Lygenesis. L-Y Genesis. And they announced that a volunteer has received an injection of liver cells from a living donor that could turn one of their lymph nodes into a second and functioning liver. What? The experimental procedure took place in Houston, March 25th. It's part of a phase 2 clinical trial that'll test this treatment in 12 adults with end-stage liver disease. So, I mean, at that point, what do you have to lose, right? Might as well sign up and see if this thing works. End-stage liver disease happens when your liver is damaged beyond repair. Often you've got chronic liver disease, maybe acute liver failure. 50,000 Americans die of chronic liver disease every year. I thought it would be more than that. And usually, usually they try to give you a liver transplant. But 10,000 people are on the waiting list in the United States alone for a liver transplant. In 2021, a record 9,234 liver transplants were performed in the United States. Lygenesis says they hope the procedure will create the growth of enough liver tissue, then patients won't need a transplant. Which would be, I mean, you don't have to undergo that surgery. You wouldn't have to take all the anti-rejection medication, I wouldn't think. They say if this works, it'll be a remarkable regenerative medical milestone. By helping patients with end-stage liver disease grow a brand new functional ectopic liver in their own body. If their study is successful, if they get the FDA approval they need, their allogeneic cell therapy could enable one donated liver to treat many dozens of end-stage liver disease patients. And it could help also tilt the current organ supply-demand imbalance in favor of patients so that then we would have enough livers to go around and people wouldn't have to sit on the waiting list and die waiting. They've been working on this thing for 10 years. So here's how it works. It takes a liver cell or hepatocyte from a donated organ, injects them into the lymph node found all over the body. In the lymph node, the liver cells hopefully divide, grow, develop blood vessels. It targets a group of lymph nodes in the abdomen that are connected to the liver via a system of veins. They've tried it in mice and pigs, and that's when they decided, okay, it looks like these cells can thrive, and it looks like the additional liver can take over the function of an animal's failing organ. So it looks like this could work. The study they did in 2020 found pigs regained their liver function after these injections. They also noted the more severe the damage to the pig's original liver, the bigger the second liver actually grew. Weird, right? The pig's body may be able to recognize the more healthy tissue and then give the new liver more responsibilities. So I think it's interesting. I mean, if it works, great. Lygenesis cell therapy platform, apparently they say, represents a truly remarkable potential commercial opportunity and may be transformative for chronic liver failure patients who don't have access to a donor liver. So there's a lot of people they don't even put on the donor list, right? So if you are have an ongoing issue with maybe alcoholism and you have chronic liver disease because of that, and they give you a new liver, but there's no reason to believe that you'll stop abusing your body, and so you'll just damage the new liver like you damaged the old liver, well, either your name goes to the bottom of the list or doesn't go on it. But what if all it took was a little injection and you could grow this new liver? I don't know. Science, man, it's so cool. Let's go to the back to the universe. Back to the universe. This is a story about dark energy, and it reminds me a lot of Star Wars. It shows that maybe there is a force. The largest 3D map of the universe reveals hints of the dark energy's secrets. The dark energy might evolve over time. That's the result of a major cosmic survey. This is all from Duke University. Let me go back. So they did a massive survey of the cosmos, right? And it shows new details of one of the most mysterious facets of the universe, which is dark energy. So when they look at that with other observations, the data tilts in favor of dark energy thought to maintain a constant density over time, that it might actually evolve along with the cosmos. So what is dark energy other than, you know, what Darth Vader uses? It is an invisible enigma that causes the universe's expansion to speed up over time, but it's really not understood very well, despite making up most of the contents of the universe. So the dark energy spectroscopic instrument, or the DESI, D-E-S-I, dark energy spectroscopic, say that five times fast, produced the largest 3D map of the universe to date. This is all posted on the DESI website. They held a talk in Sacramento, and they said by analyzing the patterns in the distributions of galaxies and other objects on that map, scientists can determine the history of how the universe expanded over time, and that they can allow for the possibility that dark energy's equation of state, which describes how the pressure of dark energy relates to its density, might vary over time. And it means an upheaval in the way scientists understand the universe's history. So, they mapped out 6.4 million galaxies and quasars to get this dark energy information. I won't go on because I have to honestly tell you, there's a lot in this article that went way over my head. But I think it's very interesting that they were able to do this mapping and they're able to look and at things they don't really understand and at least try to understand around the edges. I think we're going to hear a lot more about this. Okay, I have more stories for you, but if I don't get to it now, I'm not going to get to it at all. And we haven't done trivia. I think this is really important. So we can't have a Thursday without trivia, can we? No, we can't. No, we can't. All right. So I had some, I closed my website. Of course I did. I had some general trivia that I wanted to do with you guys. Are you ready? Is trivia important to you on the show? Let me go to the chat for that and see what you think. You want trivia or should we end it? I've been tuned in the whole time, distracted by other things. Oh no, medical bills. No. Deidre wants trivia. Okay. If one person wants to play with me, that's all I need. I am happy. Jim wants trivia. Everybody wants trivia. Okay. Trivia, then we shall do. I have some general trivia that I thought was pretty good. Might as well do a little bit of that. See if I can find it really quickly. I had picked a really good website and now I can't find it. Oh no, it's okay. It's going to happen. All right. Okay. We'll do this one. Here is some trivia for you. How about we do... Hold on. I'm getting it. This is what happens when I try to close my windows as I go along, and then I lose the good website that I had up with some good trivia. Turns out Julia doesn't need a ride home from school. Okay. What is the longest river in the world? You guys know what the longest river in the world is? Yeah, she does. She often does win. We do know that about Deidre. Deidre's quick on the trivia uptake. What is the longest river in the world? It is true. Apparently, it wasn't a very hard question because all of you got it. The Nile. Yes, it's the Nile. Well done. It is indeed the Nile. All right. How about some pop culture trivia? Which Game of Thrones house does Daenerys belong to? I don't know if this teaches us a lot. Which Game of Thrones house does Daenerys belong to? You guys are going to get this really fast too. Unless nobody watches this show and nobody really cares which house Daenerys belongs to. Mama doesn't know this one. You probably didn't watch the show. The show is good. Nikki talked me into watching it. Never watched it. Never seen Game of Thrones. Oh, see, Nikki made me watch it and it was really good, but it's very, very violent and bloody. No idea. All right, I'll have to give you guys this one. It's Targaryen. Targaryen. How about this one? Which ingredient is not used to make ratatouille? Courgette, aubergine, spinach, or tomato? Which is not used to make ratatouille? Is it courgette, aubergine, spinach, or tomato? Let's see if we have an answer. This is correct. Oh, no, it's not rats. It's spinach. Mama got it, and Karen got it, and Pauline got it. Well done. Yep. Spinach is not used to make ratatouille. When did construction start on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco? When did they start construction? Not when did they finish the bridge. Was it, and you guys are going to know this one, 1933, 1943, 1953, or 1963? 33, 43, 53, or 63. I would have gotten this one right. I bet you will too. Yeah. Deidre says 1932. The answer, apparently, according to this trivia website, is 1933. So if we have to go with their options they give us, we're going to go with 33. Maybe 32 is more correct, though. And if so, my bad. I'm sorry. When was The Book of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck first published? Of Mice and Men, when was it first published? See if anybody knows that answer. 52, says Deidre. You're a little too late. You're guessing. 1906, you're a little too early, William. 48, says Sandy. You're a little too late as well. We're back in the 30s. The answer to this one is 1937. When did Friends air for the first time? The show Friends. When did it air for the first time? Yes, Karen, Of Mice and Men, it was 37. Yes, Sandy, it was 1994. Well done. Yeah. 1994. How long is a marathon? What's the distance that you have to run in a marathon? I wouldn't know this because I've never done this. High respect, big respect for people that can do it. 26 miles, says Pauline. A marathon. I don't know what the difference is between miles to kilometers. Hold on, I have to... Miles to KM. They give it to me in kilometers, not miles. So I have to enter it in to see if you're right. You're about right. I'll give you that. It is, what they say is that it is 42 kilometers, 42.195 kilometers. So that's round about 26 miles. So I'll give it to you. In which U.S. city did the Beatles give their last concert? In which city did the Beatles give their last concert? We probably all know this one, right? Yeah. Yeah, Pauline, jumping in, San Francisco. That's right. It was San Francisco. Oops. Nope. It was San Francisco, as a matter of fact. All right. What is the longest word that can be written using only the letters on the top row of a keyboard? Standard keyboard. The longest word that can be written using only the letters on the top row of a keyboard. Yeah, it works. This is a good one. This is one of these ones you had to have heard before, or you wouldn't know it, right? I don't know if it was Kezar for the Beatles. I'm not sure. Queertywop. No. It's actually a real word. Rupture wart works, but no. No, I have an idea. Quiet works. I love Lori's. No, I don't know. Out pretty? Yeah, I thought it was a candlestick too, Karen, but I don't know. Yes, Monica, that is correct. The word is typewriter. Now we can all look at our keyboard and go, oh my gosh, that totally works. That is the longest word that you can write in the English language using only the top letters on the top row of your keyboard, the letters on the top row. Which cheese from Cyprus is often described as squeaky cheese? Squeaky. Which cheese from Cyprus is often described as squeaky? Do we know? Feta? Mm-mm. Deidre, look at us go. I mean, the After Party Live serves a purpose, right? It totally does. Cheese Whiz, no. Provolone, no. The mouse cheese is a great answer. I love it, Donald. No. I wouldn't have gotten this one, so I'll tell it to you. It's halloumi. H-A-L-L-O-U-M-I. Halloumi is also called the squeaky cheese. Okay, this is supposed to be a hard section. Are you guys ready for this? Hard section. In which Madonna album were the songs Lucky Star and Borderline? Borderline. Think, fill in the blank. This is not a hard question. The album was, I'm giving you the answer, Madonna. That's what it was called. Madonna. Who is the longest reigning monarch in French history? You guys know this one? The longest reigning monarch in French history. Let's see if it, yes. Yep, yep. Uncle Jim got it. Uncle Jim, what's going on? Yes, it is. The answer is... Good job, you guys. Okay, next question. You guys still want to play? Or you have to go back to work? I don't know. I'll throw a few more questions at you. Who was the British monarch when Charles Dickens died? Who was the British monarch when Charles Dickens died? Kind of a weird question, but it's supposed to be hard, so I'll take it. Who was the British monarch when Charles Dickens died? And yes, it was Victoria. Absolutely. It was not Charlemagne. No. Okay. We should know this, right? What was the name of Christopher Columbus's ship when he discovered the New World, allegedly? The New World that had been discovered long before. And we know it was called the Yes, it was not the Nina. It was the Santa Maria. It was the Santa Maria. That's right. How many strings does a ukulele have? You know it? Good job on Santa Maria, you guys. Look at my little history people over here. Well done. How many strings does a uke have? We know this in my house because we have to replace them all the time. Yes, it does have 4. A lot of you guys got that really fast. Do you guys play ukulele? There's a group in Petaluma that my husband belonged to called Petal Uke. Kind of a fun place to go play the ukulele. Good job. 4. Yep, you guys good. I'm so proud of y'all. Which K-pop band is also known as the Bangtan Boys? The Bangtan Boys. Albert would know this one like that. Do I have K-pop fans in the group? The Bangtan Boys. Which K-pop group? Yep, Liz got it. BTS. Albert would be very proud of you. How about the TV program Dancing with the Stars? What's it called in the UK, or what's it known as in the UK? Dancing with the Stars. How is it known in the UK? Not called that. Who cares? Well, I mean, you could make that argument about trivia in general, right? I'll give you this one. It is called Strictly Come Dancing. That's what it's called. Which actor played Sergeant Cordell Walker in Walker, Texas Ranger? That's an easy one. Dancing with the British Stars now. Stars on the way out. That's pretty good. But no. Which actor played Sergeant Cordell Walker in Walker, Texas Ranger? Yeah, it's Chuck Norris. Chuck, you guys, good job. All right, a couple more, and then we'll wrap it up. Just because I don't want to wrap it up with Chuck Norris. How about, in which country are lamingtons a typical cake? In which country are lamingtons a typical cake? I've never had a lamington. Now I kind of want one. A lamington. In which country are those typical cakes? It's not Scotland. But it is indeed Australia, JT. Nice. Excellent. It's Australia, yeah. What type of meat is used to make a cottage pie? What type of meat is used to make a cottage pie? It's a lamington, Liz. I don't know what's in it. I have to look it up. Lamington cake. While you're answering the cottage pie question. A lamington cake. Oh, looks kind of good. I have to say. Here's a picture of it. It looks kind of like chocolatey and coconutty. It's not something that I would say no to. There's the lamington cake for those that are interested. Yeah, that looks good. That's a lamington. Apparently that's very common in Australia. Well done, JT. All right. The answer to the next question is beef. So I'll scroll down to lamb, guts, veal, lamb. I'm going to give it to mama. The answer is beef. I don't know if it's ground or not, but it's the answer is beef. Who was the first monarch to be crowned at Westminster Abbey? Who was the first monarch to be crowned at Westminster Abbey? I don't know if I would have known this one. Let's see if you guys have it. No, it was not Elizabeth, nor was it Henry VIII, nor was it Richard III, or George. It was William the Conqueror is the answer to that one. Yep. Okay, next. This is supposed to be hard again. Oh, they're hard. Which two planets in the solar system have no moons? Which two planets in the solar system have no moons? If you guys get this one. No moons for which two planets in the solar system? You guys are Googling it. Which two ones? No Googling. Mercury is one. Yes, as a matter of fact, it is, Uncle Jim, Mercury and Venus. Way to go. I don't know this one. In which French city were French kings crowned? Historically. In which French city were French kings crowned? Do we know? In which French city were French kings crowned? We have Versailles, Lyon. A lot of Versailles, Marseille. The answer is Reims, R-E-I-M-S, Reims. Okay, last question, sports related. Which fruit sits atop the Wimbledon Gentlemen's Singles Trophy? Which fruit sits on top of the Wimbledon Gentlemen's Singles Trophy? It's very After Party Live related, so I'll go with that. Do we know which fruit? Have we ever seen the... It is JT slamming down that knowledge. It is a pineapple. See how After Party related that is? Ooh, you guys, a lot of you knew that one. I don't know if I would have known that one. All right. Well, I've kept you enough. Thank you for spending this extra few minutes with me. Please click the like button. Please click the subscribe button. I am walking my way, doing a slow stroll up to 2000. So I love pineapple too. Back to work. I love pineapple too. So again, thank you for being here. And we'll be doing it again tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm filling in for Nikki, but we have John Rothman on the show and Tim Sika will be on the show. Friday is always my favorite day on the Mark Thompson Show. Stay tuned for Friday Fabulous Florida tomorrow. We've got Michael Schur and Michael Snyder coming through as well. Nikki starts at 9 this week. Mark starts at 10, I mean at 11 rather. And then we'll be on the After Party Live as well with some fun stories for you. So thank you for being here, and we'll end it for today. Go out there and make it a great day. Stay dry and out of the rain if you are here in the Bay Area, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye. Here it comes. It's coming. It's coming. I swear it's coming. Here it is.
The After Party Live would like to thank the following contributors and viewers like you.